All right, Acts 17. We've been working our way through Acts, and we've got him. We've got him leaving. He's still technically in Corinth. I guess he's in that. I want to say Caesarea, but it's Caesarea. I can't even read it, much less quote it. Caesarea. Yeah. So he's technically, I guess, out of Corinth. In there, because we're talking about the vow. He's heading home from his second missionary journey is what he's doing. Let's go ahead and I'll start reading verse 17, because it's just a fun place to start reading. And we'll read a little bit here. Again, I don't think today we might get out of verse 18. If you go online, and I hope you guys do go on our internet. Any articles I've ever written is on the internet. But my point is, you can send it to people. That's on PDF form, so they can download it. You could copy it, email it to people that if it's an article that you think they would help them. We have all of our Wednesday night messages are audio form on there. Real easy to use. You just, you know, get on there, click it, and it'll play for you. Usually it goes Acts 18:1, Acts 18:2, Acts 18:3, maybe Acts 18:4 through 6 or something like that. But we've last 2 weeks we've been on Acts 18:18, and I'll probably do it again. So I encourage you. All right, that's my commercial. Another commercial. Where are we at? And all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him. Listen, don't be overcome. I shouldn't have started here, should I? Don't be overcome by when bad people seem to be getting by with abusing the church. Don't get overcome by that. You keep being the church. You keep being righteous. You keep being being holy. You keep doing what you're supposed to do. Remember the three things that the Holy Spirit told me a couple months ago, and he said, keep your heart clean, keep your hands clean, and keep your nose clean. And those are the things we have control over. We don't have control over what everybody else does. We have control over what we do. And so when everybody else seems to be attacking the church or attacking you or are coming against you, how many times does Psalm tell us don't envy the evildoer? Because as much as it keeps coming on you and it seems like it's coming on you in every wave, love it, it's not going to be very long. And it may not be the things of God. It may not be the children of God that beat the tarnations out of them, but they'll get the tarnations beat out of them. That was a really great place for some amens right there. Notice it was Pastor Elisa that said it the loudest. And you may not like it. I there was a scripture or two that the Holy Spirit brought up before to me a couple weeks ago. I was driving down the road, and I thought, I wonder if it says anywhere in scripture anything about this. And it was about what somebody was doing to me and what somebody had done to me. And I said, I wonder if there's anything in the scriptures that say anything about that. And so I did a quick search on my phone, and a scripture pulled up. And I read it. And I was like, oh, I guess it does. And it starts with, woe is he. Which when the Bible says, woe is he, it's not good. It's not good. And it says, woe is he. And then it says it says, man, his house will be fried. It hit me. I thought, that's not what I'm after. I don't want anybody's house to fry. And so I know that's where a lot of you are going. Well, I don't want anybody to have the tarnations beat out of them. It comes with the territory, unfortunately. If you choose to target the anointed, touch not my anointed. Amen. And when you choose to target the anointed, when you choose to target the people of God, beloved, you put a target on your back. And it may not be quote unquote God or godly people that come after you, but you will be gotten because you have done it. And so again, I immediately started praying differently because that's not what I wanted. I want things to get straightened out in that situation. Are you with me here? So my point is don't get riled up. God said, listen, God said to Paul, he said, you keep doing what you know to do. And again, specifically, he told him, he said, be not afraid, but speak. Don't be quiet, for I am with thee. No man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in the city. Those were the specific things he told him. Now again, those things, yes, he's saying to us. I'm not questioning that. But if you take into consideration what he's specifically told me, keep your heart clean, keep your hands clean, keep your nose clean. And I know I've brought that up a lot. I thought one day about just teaching on that. Those three things clean. And again, how do you do that? Washing the water by the word. Keep the word going in you. And so those are that's specifically what God's told me and he's told us. If he's told me, he's told us. That's why I say it so often, is to remind us. So, because listen, I ain't afraid of what I would do to people. I'm afraid of what some of y'all would do to people. All right. So that's specifically what he told us. So what he told Paul, that was now Paul's purpose was to keep speaking. Don't be afraid. Don't keep your mouth shut. Right? That was now his focus. Well, beloved, we got to keep our hearts clean. We got to keep our hands clean. And we've got to keep our nose clean. We've got to just stay in our lane. Keep doing what we know to do. Keep operating where God has placed us and what God has called us to do specifically. And when we do that, that's when those people that have come against you will get their comeuppance. All right? So we don't have to think, well, how can we get them their comeuppance? That's not our job. A very weird thing happened. And I know I got to stop this. I promised myself today that I was going to really be disciplined in time tonight. And I will. But this doesn't help my case. A really peculiar thing happened in this story. Because who wanted to hear Paul preach? Pretty much the Christians or those that were hungry for the things of God. Not the kind of people that would beat the tarnations out of someone. The two groups of people that would not be interested in hearing him or helping him would be the people that would beat the tarnations out of someone and the Jews, the ones that he was in opposition with. They weren't in this thing to say, well, his ministry should flourish. We want his ministry to flourish. But yet they were the ones that were used to stifle the opposition that was against him. Beloved, if God can use a donkey to prophesy and to speak to a man of God, then there is no limit. And he used donkeys a couple times. Paul's knocked him off. There is no limit to what he can do to stop the attacks that are coming on you. And don't ever forget that. Our temptation is to get over into the flesh and to operate in the flesh and get fleshly and say, well, I need to, you know, do this and I need to confront and I need to. And again, there's a time for confrontation. I'm not saying that. But again, what does it go to? Verse 9 and 10. Be not afraid. Keep speaking. Keep doing what I've told you. If God's told you to confront, then confront. Don't hold your peace. But if God's told you to keep your nose clean, then keep your nose in your lane. You keep doing what you need to do. Are you with me here? All right. Beat him before the judgment seat. I didn't make it very far, did I? And Gallion cared for none of those things. He didn't care. I like King James Version, if I was writing this, I'd have said, Galeon didn't care. Couldn't have cared less. Verse 18. And Paul, after this, tarried yet in Corinth a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence to Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. Now again, we stop there, and I'll probably stop there again here. We don't need the map tonight, maybe. But if you'll remember, Syria is where Jerusalem and Antioch are. So he's heading home. But in the process of heading home, and we'll see this if we ever get to verse 19, he stops by Ephesus. But he's taken Priscilla and Aquila with him to go there. Now, when they get to Cenchrea, go ahead and throw it up there. I just want you to see this here, because basically, you probably have to take the scripture down. Hey. All right. You could see Corinth there, and it seems like Cenchrea is more of the coastal, a port there that would have taken off and maybe either gone there or go to Ephesus, whatever that is. So I'm guessing now Corinth was big enough, and if you remember our lessons on Corinth, which I know this is in a history class, so you may not try to remember this stuff, but it had two ports, one on the Adriatic and one on the Aegean. One out there and one out there. So, but apparently they went down to Cenchrea and took off from there. It was just the port that they left from. Don't know why. I guess they chose the Louisville Airport instead of the Lexington Airport is what it comes down to. But the point here is when they get there, somebody makes a vow. And now maybe y'all can help me on this at some point. Maybe afterwards you can highlight this to me. I've not read a really good explanation for Paul making a vow. It is within the realm of possibility that he was taking a temporary Nazirite vow, which many people believe that he was. So again, I'm not above them. I'm just up here trying to deliver what the Holy Spirit has for me to deliver, and what he shows me. And so many people believe that he was taking a Nazirite vow which was an act of purifying yourself, cleansing yourself. You shaved your head, and you weren't going to cut it. You refrained from certain things for a season. The early Christians would do it for a season. Back in the Old Testament, there was many that did it for a lifetime. And so many people think that he did it for his trip back to Jerusalem, where he's going back to Jerusalem, and whether it be his ministry to the Jews in Jerusalem, the people that he was around all the time in Jerusalem, or whether it be his just his dedication to God, refreshing, rejuvenating. There's many different reasons out there. But the one that I have here is, again, this is the second time Aquila and Priscilla are listed. And I believe there's double, because again, at other times they were switched to five different times. Their names are talked about. All five times, both of them are mentioned, Priscilla and Aquila. And, two of them, Priscilla's first. And as Pastor Elisa shared a couple weeks ago, that's a beautiful picture that it wasn't like it was Aquila's ministry and Priscilla was just a part of it. You know, T.L. Osborne and Daisy where they're tagged on the end of it. That they were both essential parts of this ministry. So five different times, two times Priscilla was listed first. But with that also, I believe that the last name that is associated here with the vow is Aquila. It's Priscilla and Aquila who made the vow. Go ahead and throw that back up there, verse 18. Who, having shaved his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. So, again, different ways to look at this. I shared that one. But the one that gets me is Aquila making a vow or making a covenant with the Apostle Paul. And again, Romans chapter 16, I believe, is the best, is the picture for us to understand what this meant. And in Romans 16, verse 3, he says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila." So there's Priscilla first. "My helpers in Christ, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but to all the, but also to all the churches and the Gentiles." So he says that Priscilla and Aquila for, and again, it would be one thing. It'd be one thing if it was like, because what would make sense here would be for the sake of the gospel. Nobody thinks the Apostle Paul does anything wrong, and they slide past these kind of things. But if a pastor got up in front of Joel Osteen or Bill Johnson and said, "Man, greet these people because they laid their lives down for me," they'd be like, "Eh, who do you think you are that they laid their lives? It's all about the gospel. It's all about Jesus. They laid their lives down for him, not you. What kind of ego trip are you on that you think they laid their lives down for you?" Because they laid their lives down for him because there was a vow made. Aquila said, "Man, I'm shaving my head because I want you to know that I'm by your side." I'm not making anybody shave their heads except for Neil and Steve and Taylor. And all right, we'll leave it at that. But he says, "I'm not leaving your side. Through hell or high water, I'm given myself to you." We miss this in the church. We have become so religiousized. And again, I'm not saying that we don't have a covenant with God, because listen, beloved, the covenants that we have with one another is sealed through the blood of Jesus. It's not sealed through our blood. We should never be shedding blood for our covenants. Our covenants are based on the blood of Jesus. But I believe we miss this in the church world. I believe we miss the relationship that God wants us to have and the connections and the binding that He wants us to have together. That we don't let anything separate us. That when we're going through hot water, we go through it together. Isn't that something? How when the hot water strikes, the first thing we want to do is separate. And the place we need to be is together. That's where God wants us to be, is together. But it's that mentality of that. It's really that mentality. I just need to be alone. I need to be myself. I need to get away from everybody. I need to do my own, right? And it's the mentality of this culture is the most selfish culture I've ever seen in my life. And I'm not, it's just that everybody is in it for themselves. Listen, social media has created a group of people that think that because they now have a platform that they're right, that their opinions are right. Because now they have a chance to say stuff in front of two people, without any repercussions, But beloved, I don't think we will ever understand the fullness of the power of us being together, of us being and operating as one body, for us being connected and legitimately in the same way that Jessica and I, when we were married, we made vows of commitment to one another. We were so much vowed that we wore the same t-shirt tonight. But when we made those vows and said, "Man, till death do us part," and listen, we've had some fun times in our marriage. We've had some times where Jessica's punched me she hasn't punched me. She's wanted to, but we've had those times in our marriage where things got a little fun, a little exciting. But it wasn't a choice to separate. It was like, okay, we'll get through this. We'll figure this out. Why? Because we made a vow. Now let's look at some scriptures here, because I want to read these scriptures. Let's go to Psalm 50. And I know we started here, we closed here last week, but I really want to, I wasn't done, but I had preached too long last week. And that's why we're just going to go here for a little bit longer. And I say a little bit, it's a relative term, but I really want to dig in here a little bit to this vow. Because again, I do believe there's a power in vowing. But this what I'm going to talk about today, yes, you can take a vow, make a vow of finances or time or whatever. Yes, that's good. But I even want to dig in a little bit deeper than that tonight. And because I want to talk about us. And again, not out of manipulation. I've told you a long time ago, I'm done with that. I tried that when I was a youth pastor and it didn't work. And matter of fact, it kind of backfired. And so I was like, I'm not going to keep doing that. And so I want to talk to us tonight about the power that we have in a vow. And I want us to see it beyond this. Now, go to Psalm 50, verse 14. It says, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows to the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. So when you're in the middle of the trouble, you call on him, you make a vow, and then you pay the vow. Psalm 66, verse 13, says, I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered. All right, so a vow is something that your lips have uttered, you have committed to, and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. In other words, often we make promises when we're in trouble, and then all of a sudden we find ourselves out of trouble and we're like, hey, I can do whatever I want. Well, let's look at that here. Let's go Deuteronomy 23. See, that's the thing, is that seed, we talked last week about seed. Seed is something that, yes, God can tell you to give. So is seed. But seed is something that you're, a matter of fact, I believe, you know, we've talked about this, is that God is the Lord of the harvest. You're the Lord of the seed. You're in charge of the seed. A vow is different. A seed can be any denomination, anything that you want to use. I mean, now God will direct you on stuff. But a seed is really your choice. When it's time for a vow, once you've made a vow, it's not your choice anymore. I've always called it a seed, but really it was a vow what we did. It was more than what we could do on our own. We made sure we had overdraft protection on our bank account, because we used it. and so it wasn't like we're just saying, we're going to vow this, or we're going to sow this amount and it's nothing. We're just write out a check. It was something that was bigger than what we could do on our own. So it really was a vow. It was something we promised God that we would do, and we set out to do it. So a vow is something that you promise that's bigger than yourself, and you promise God that you will fulfill that vow. A seed can be a choice. To pay your vows is not. Deuteronomy 23, verse 21. It says, and thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, and thou shalt not slack to pay it. Don't even be slow to pay it. You get, I've had people, and again, I'm not, I've had people that say, I've made a vow to the church for like $1,000, and I'm going to pay $5 a month or $5 a month for the next whatever to pay this vow. And I'm like, listen, I can get the fact that that may be as much as fast as some people can do it. I'm not judging. All right, I'm not judging anybody. But what, 12 times 5 is 60. Thank you. 60. So it's going to take at least 10, 12, 15 years to pay that off. Don't be slack to pay it. When Jesse and I made that vow, we said, listen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go get bologna, cheese, and we have to have cheese, and bread, and we're going to have that until we get this thing paid off, and we're going to pay as much as we can on it. Don't be slack to pay it. And again, it's slack would be a relative term. I get that. Each person, it would be different. Sister Beulah shared last week that the Lord said, pay this amount every week for the year. And she did that. Well, that would be not slack to do it. Other times it's, I'm giving $1,000 and you need to work at getting that done as quick as you can. All right. So don't be slack to pay it, for the Lord thy God will surely see, here it is. When you make a vow, it's not just a suggestion. God will require it of thee, and it would be a sin in thee. But if thou shalt forbear to vow, it's not a sin to you. So if you don't have to vow, per se, but if you do vow, now again, I'm wanting you to see it in pictures of like a financial seed of some sort, but I also want you to start looking at that vow as more than just that, but as that oath of covenant. God said, by two immutable things, it is impossible for me to lie. By the blood covenant and the blood sworn oath. He said, when I said it by an oath, when I spoke it, he said, I've sent my word. I've magnified my word above my name. When it comes out of the mouth of God, it is a covenant oath, a covenant vow. And we're going to go here tonight. Because, again, it's been a long time since I've talked about covenant. And I don't know how much longer I can really wait. But this is what the Holy Spirit was talking about all morning this morning. Every word that comes out of the mouth of God is a covenant vow to us. So when he says, by his stripes ye were healed, what does he mean by that? It means by his stripes ye were healed. He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Now again, I cannot stand up here, and I will not stand up here and go through people, loved ones, who have died short of living out their life and tell you that this is what I think they did wrong. Because I'm probably wrong. And it ain't my job. Maybe they did nothing wrong. I don't know. But I will say this, is that a lot of times people start doing things. People will start doing things when they find themselves in a physical battle that they don't ever do before. And whether they like it or not, there's a tinge of trying to earn their healing. And see, when you're in covenant, you don't earn anything. The vow speaks for itself. You rest in the vow. Jessica doesn't have to concern herself coming home. I wonder if Thad's going to show up tonight. I wonder if he's going to be there. I wonder if he's going to, she doesn't have to do that. She doesn't have to sit there and try to earn my love. 26 years ago, ish, almost 26, 27, 42. I said I do, and I did, and so I still am. Right? And she doesn't ever have, my vow speaks for itself. And every day I live out that vow. And so when God the Father said by his, now again, I'm not picking on anybody, if you'll please understand that. I'm just simply saying that there's a lot of people that do things like this. And you need to rest in the fact. The best thing about doing that is to, best thing about like doing some things different is that you're charging yourself. You're reminding yourself what the vow is. All right. I got it. I told you, man, this, here, my notes tonight are post-its, pens. So this is something the Holy Spirit just laid on me and I didn't even want to type it up. All right, so he says, for that which has gone out of thy lips, thou shalt. What do we know about shall? This is contractual. When you've spoke a vow, when you've spoken an oath to do something or to operate some way, it now becomes contractual. Huh? Thou shalt keep and perform even a free will offering. Ooh. Well, I'm in covenant with you, so I still got to do it. No, you better get on your knees and you better get your heart right until what you're doing is free will so that you're actually, I made a vow, I got to give a vow. I told God I was going to give $100 a week, and I don't even have $100 a week, and I don't know, I'm going to do $100 a week, and I don't want to do $100 a week, but I'll just won't eat. I won't eat this week, and I'll just give $100 a week, and you're upset and angry. No, notice what it says about the vow, is that if you've made a vow, it needs to be a free will offering. The enemy loves to come in. Pastor Elisa was right on top of it in her offering about a faithful person. Sometimes you're like, I really don't want to do this. Well, where's the beauty of your offering? Not in that you give it with a bad attitude, for God loveth a cheerful giver. It's in the heart that you give it. That in the midst of the I'm a grateful tither, I'm a grateful payer, I'm a grateful sower, I'm a grateful church attender, I'm a grateful teacher, I'm a grateful worshiper, I'm a grateful part of the congregation, I'm grateful, and I love it. There's something that I'm currently doing that part of I love doing it. There's some things I don't like about it sufficiently to say is that every time I do it, I put on this. It is my utmost privilege to do this. And I'll leave it at that because I can't afford to do anything in the kingdom of God with a bitter, with a angry or with a hesitant heart. I need to get on my knees, beloved. If you're having trouble tithing with a grateful heart or as a free will offering, you need to drop on your knees and say, Lord, change me. Because I've got to have that free will offering. I've got to have that freeness, that love. Give out of that attitude of love. I got to do that because that's where my value is. My value isn't doing it with bitterness and anger and like, I can't believe I have to do this or God's going to curse me and all this kind of stuff. Again, God doesn't curse nobody. He blesses. And you have one of two choices in life, to operate under the blessing or operate under the curse. You don't have a choice. There's no third choice. There's no neutral choice. So by choosing to do nothing, you've chosen. So God is not cursing anybody. That's the biggest argument people have with Malachi is that that you'll be cursed with a curse. God didn't curse anybody. He didn't say we cursed anybody. He said when you choose not to do things that God wants you to do, you have chosen. I need to get some fun stuff here or something. But a free will offering according to thou hast vowed in your heart to the Lord your God. And what you promised to your mouth. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. A faithful man will abound in blessings. When you're faithful, the blessings of God will come upon you and overtake you. When you've made a vow and you stick with it with joy, with cheerful heart, you will abound with blessings. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 4. It says, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. Now again, that's just simply saying, don't not pay it. Make sure you pay it. That's it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. So what does he call somebody who doesn't pay their vow? Or who doesn't operate to carry out their vow? I didn't call you that. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldst not vow than thou shouldst vow and not pay it. So again, we just see that it's let's try the mouth of two or three witnesses. Go to Psalm 76. We are two, right? Psalm 76, verse 11. Again, just more of this. Vow and pay unto the Lord your God. If you want to pay, pay. Now, here it is. Okay, I need breakthrough in my life. And so I'm going to vow to give Pastor Thad to the church, Pastor Jessica, whatever. I'm going to vow $1,000. All right? We already know. Be quick about it. Do it as quick as you can. Don't sit there. Well, it's convenient for me to give $1 a week for, 1,000 weeks. Now, be quick about it. Be solid about it. Be faithful about it. But don't get so excited. It's okay, because love, there's a connection. I get that. But don't be so excited that you're sowing or vowing to Pastor Thad. When you vow a vow, who are you vowing it to? To God. So every time you bring that vow, and maybe you have $50 this week, and you come and you place that in an envelope, you place that in Pastor Thad's hands, and you say, I'm paying this vow to the Lord. Amen. All right. I'm just helping us on this. So okay. All right. Let's take, because I know we're going back and forth here, but I want you to see this whole picture. So let's say you vowed a covenant vow that I'm with you and I'm not leaving and I'll lay my life down for you and to stand by you and you've done that. Who's that vow really to? It's to God, because he's connected you together. See, when I keep my vow with Jessica, yes, I honor her. I love her. I honor her. But I honor God by keeping that vow. We live in a time where it's easy to, where lying is okay, where or changing your mind is okay. We put you, oh no, it's all right. And they, but if you vowed a vow, you've not just vowed it to Pastor Thad, because again, whose blood sealed that covenant vow? You vowed it to God. And so when the enemy comes and tries to get you to separate, and again, let me throw this out at you. Well, no, maybe later. All right. Go to James 5. Because we're gonna take it up a notch. I want to throw this out real quick to you here, because one of the things with a vow is that you can be really willy-nilly with a vow. And you can think, Lord... Remember my illustration at the end of last week with that Burt Reynolds, Lord, I'll give you 50% of my income. And then by the time he got into shore, he's like, 10% next Sunday, unless something comes up, then You know, and that's kind of the mentality of what we have sometimes, and we just make vows. Because again, when do vows help? When you're in times of trouble. But in Judges 11, Jephthah was being confronted with the armies of the Ammonites, and he said, "Lord, man, we need victory over the Ammonites." And he said, "If you give us the enemy, if you give us this victory over the Ammonites, when we get back home, the first thing that comes through my door, I will sacrifice to you." And so God gives him the victory. And I know this sounds really weird, but God gives him the victory. And he comes home and he's already vowed it. He's vowed it. You know, it's kind of like, again, we can look at Hannah where she said, "If you give me a son, I'll give him back to you all the days of his life." And he gave him a son, and all of a sudden she's like, "Okay, I have to give him back to God." First person that came through his door was his daughter. Yeah. I mean, again, I know people are like, but he carried through with it because it was a vow. He promised God. Now, again, don't anybody do that. Amen. Because there's only about four people coming through my door on any given night. One of my kids or one of their friends, Taylor or Kylie. And so, listen, there's a couple of them I'm okay with sacrificing, but I will not. No, I'm just. All right, so don't be willy-nilly about it. Be contemplative about it. All right. Are you in James? Because let's take this up a notch, because we're dealing with this. I want you to see both pictures of this, but we're kind of really narrowing it down here for the next couple minutes. James chapter 5, I haven't even written it down. Verse 12. I told you, I just wrote stuff down here. "But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any oath." Now notice this, and I'm just keep it there for a second. You know, people use this and say, "I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to tell the whole truth, nothing to the truth, so help me die. I'm not going to take that oath because I'm not supposed to swear by anything." All this is that if Pastor Lisa says, "I'm going to give $100 or $1,000 over the next month to you," okay? I don't have to sit there and go, "All right, well, let's get a Bible out and I want you to swear with an oath to do this." No, her yes is yes and her no is no. She doesn't have, you are a person of your word, and I know you by your word. You follow me on that? If she says, "I'm with you through thick and thin, I'm with you no matter what," I don't have to sit there and say, "Okay, let's make a blood sworn oath and mix our bloods together and drink wine, you know, with our blood mixed in and all this kind of stuff. Let's go through this big process of making this oath." No, her word was her oath. The Word of God says that God watches over His Word to perform it. He watches over the details. Every word He speaks, He watches over it to perform it. Why? Because His yes is yes and His no is no. It's no more difficult than that. I don't have to sit there and wonder if Jessica tells me she's going to do something. I don't have to sit there and wonder if she's going to do it. When she said, if she says something, I know she's going to carry through with it. And that's what this says. Don't sit there and start going through oaths and stuff like that. Your word is your bond. The words that come out of your mouth set up your actions. I know we've gone somewhere because we started here with the vow, and everybody's like, well, we're just going to talk about a vow. Good. That's fine. That's all right. Cause I don't want to make a vow. I'm not going to make a vow. Whatever. You know, that's fine. Talk about the vow. And now the Holy Spirit he's talking to me today about that covenant relationship and the words that come out of our mouth. Beloved, we live in a society where words don't necessarily matter unless you say something that a certain group doesn't agree with. But any understanding of covenant relationships and Christian life must be based on the commitment to keep the words that you say. If you say it, you will do it. Go over to Matthew 21. Hallelujah. Are you grabbing a hold of this? And I just give me a couple seconds here more. Matthew 21, verse 28. It says, but what thank ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work in my vineyard, work today in my vineyard. And the son answered and said, I will not. He made no vow. He said, I will not. But afterwards, he realized his error and he went and did it. Number two, he came to the second, said likewise, and he said, man, yeah, I'll go. Now notice this. Look how simple his word was. He said, I go, sir. He didn't say, I swear by heaven and earth that I will go and do this. He just simply spoke, I will go. He didn't make a vow. He didn't say, bring the heifer. Let's make a covenant that I'll go out and work in the yard. He just simply said, I go, sir. Three words. And he didn't go. Whether of them, the two, did the will of his father? They say unto him the first, and Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots will go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and it goes on and on. The point is that the one that said, I'll do it, and didn't do it, is being tied to those that are wrong, that'll go to hell. It was wrong. He made, and again, here's what I want you to see, is simply all he said was, I go, Father. He did not make some big vow. And what God is trying to get us to understand is that the words of our mouth, our covenant vows, our covenant words, when we say something, when we declare something, and again, you say, well, I didn't promise to do it. Did you say, I go, sir? Maybe use better English than that. But did you say that? Now, again, I don't think this is the case with anybody in this room, but I've had so many people over the course of my ministry, and I'm not picking on anybody here. Again, I don't think it's the case to anybody, where they'll say, I'll see you tonight, Pastor. I'll see you tonight. I'll be there tonight. I'll be there Sunday. And then they get up a little bit late. Or things just didn't go the way they wanted to on Saturday night. I remember the early days. I just pick on him a little bit, but I remember Steve working late nights at Pizza Hut. Remember those days, Steve? And he'd get home like at 1 o'clock or so in the morning, and then he'd be charged up, and then he'd do single guys, you know, just play games or whatever, and he'd be like wired up, and then about 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the morning, he was still awake and still just kind of, well, what do I do now? There's often he'd come to church and he just, hey, Steve, you there? But see, that's what we often, again, if the enemy can do something to you to keep you out of church, don't be surprised when he does it to you time and time again. How many times have I ever said it, and how many times have we tripped in that, into that kind of thing? Don't be surprised if you make some kind of commitment. I'll see you Sunday. If Saturday night you don't sleep very well, Sunday morning your alarm clock doesn't go off. You know what happens if your alarm clock goes off at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning and you're still laying in bed? First of all, goodness gracious, you sleep good. That's nice. But it wakes you up. You get up and take the quickest shower you can take. And you get in that car. And you get here. And if you get here at the tail end of worship, maybe that's some why sometimes I go longer. It's because God's waiting for you. If you get here tail end, if you just get here for worship, at least you've not forsaken the assembling of yourself together. All right, I'm not picking on anybody. Are you just following me on this? Listen, beloved, the faithful man, woman, abounds in blessing. And I just thought so easily, because again, a lot of what the Holy Spirit had us talk about tonight was in relationship to the words of our mouth and covenant relationships. And I just thought about Ruth and Naomi and Ruth's covenant that she made with Naomi. Where you go, I go. Your God will be my God. Where you die, I'll die. And even though she went out and sweated and in the fields and worked hard, she never left Naomi out. She didn't say, it'd be easier in, I'm going to go back to Moab. You understand Naomi? And Naomi would have said, I told you a long time ago you could have. Because that's the beauty of covenant. It's not my job to tell you what to do. It's not my if Pastor Lisa says, Pastor Thad, I'm vowing to God $1,000 in the next 6 months or whatever, it's not my job to go, hey, what are you doing? You know, that's not, no. What do I have to do with thee, right? If tomorrow you go, well, I think I made that hastily and it wasn't for me. That's between you and God. Naomi would have said, I get it. But Ruth's blessings laid in her covenant vow that she made with Ruth and carrying it through. Amen? Let's stand together. Listen, again, I don't know where that hit you at today. I don't know if it just, there's some of you out there, maybe God's telling you to make a vow, a financial vow. Well, make that vow, keep it, get it taken care of, and watch it work for you. Watch it work on your behalf. Maybe some people just need to be reminded of the beauty of covenant relationships, and that because we're in covenant with God, yeah, it goes in here. Yes, it goes in the relationships that we have, the marriage relationships or the relationships we have in here. But every word we speak is backed by the blood of Jesus. And so we need to be attentive to carry it out. Amen. Heavenly Father, I love your word. And I know, I think I say that every week. And there's a reason I say that every week. It's because I love your word. Your word is so complete and it's so beautiful and it's such a full picture. It's something that if we'll look into it, we'll see every area of life. You didn't leave one area out of Scripture. If we're going through a battle, there's something in Scripture about that battle. And that's the way it is, Father, with this area of vowing, and whether it be a financial vow in the day of trouble, or whether it be just simply the words of our mouth, the vows, the oaths that we take when we say we're going to do something, that we need to be faithful to do that thing. Whatever it might be, Father, allow us, Father, to recognize the essentialness and the importance of walking out that vow in our lives, of seeing that vow come to completion in our lives, not stopping short, not stopping before we get to the full manifestation of what we're supposed to be doing, that we will never take the words of our mouth lightly, that we'll never take things that we've said we will do lightly, but that we'll be careful. We'll be watchful about the words that come out of our mouths. Lord, whatever, again, I think every one of us in this room can take this message at a different level. But Father, let us take it, let us put it into action, and let us, Father, be called faithful. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And Father, let us enter in to the joy of what you have for us. Hallelujah. We love you. We thank you. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name.